And speaking of which, it is time now for Talking Books. We are joined this morning by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website. Also, Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture. ChapelHillArts.org is that website. And this week, we are talking banned books because Banned Books Week is coming up just around the corner, and they've got a new campaign at the library called Right to Read. Susan, good morning. How are you?
I'm fired up, Aaron. As good. I always am this time of year. I'm fired up.
Good.
About the right to read.
Yes.
Indeed.
And we got a really cool program at the library and a special guest who's joining us here in the studio, which I'll let you introduce.
It's always a good day on Talking Books.
It is always a good day on Talking Books. Yes.
Makes it so we talk less and they talk
exactly.
more, which is always a good thing.
Yep.
Okay. So with me here in the studio is Renee Sakel with Red, Wine, and Blue. Great name for an org. And I'm going to let her start us off, actually, by saying who she is and what Red, Wine, and Blue does.
Renee, thank you so much for being with us. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here. So yes, my name is Renee Sakel. I am the North Carolina Deputy Program Director for Red, Wine, and Blue. We are an organization that kind of empowers the diversity of suburban women to stand up for the issues that they believe in. Directly relevant to this conversation, we have our Freedom to Raise 21st Century Kids, Freedom to Parent 21st Century Kids initiative, which helps women fight back against these efforts to ban books that we've been seeing nationwide.
What's the origin story for Red, Wine, and Blue? Because that sounds like a really cool, I mean, like Susan said, it's a great name, but it sounds like it's a much bigger thing than just this one issue.
It absolutely is. So our founder, Katie Paris, is from Ohio. And after the 2016 election, she and her other friends were just gobsmacked. They didn't know how things had gotten so wrong. So they started meeting up, you know, as women do, as you do with your friend groups, right? Meet over a glass of wine, talk about what to do, and they realized that they could do something. They could fight back. They could organize. And so that kind of kicked off this very powerful idea of what we call relational organizing, which is the idea that, you know, you can knock on doors, and that's wonderful, but talking to a friend about the issues, about elections, is going to be far more impactful and far more effective. And so that's what we do, is we try to encourage our women to use relational organizing to get their friends and family out to vote and to fight for the issues that matter to them.
How did you get involved?
I don't remember.
Was that the wine talking? Was the wine involved in that part, Renee? No.
I have been an education advocate since 2017, and that was just by accident. It kind of an issue came to my attention, and I ended up working on it and then kept going, as, you know, one tends to do. And somehow I got hooked in with Red, Wine, and Blue, and they invited me to come to one of their weekly salons. We have a Tuesday nights on Zoom. We have a salon where we talk about issues that matter to women. And I don't remember what the issue was, but I do remember that feeling of being on the meeting and, oh my gosh, here were my people.
Yeah.
I think I cried. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I cry about everything. But, but just this power in all of these women coming together to fight for a common purpose and helping women in areas that might not necessarily be as blue as Chapel Hill find each other and realize they're not alone and there's something they can do. It's just amazing to me.
And Red, Wine, and Blue is partnering with the library for the Right to Read campaign, which is just around the corner with an event happening this Sunday, right?
Yeah. So I'll talk about the campaign first and then the program. So we decided not to do our banned books trading cards this year. And that project may be shelved for good. Who knows? We did it for many years. People loved it. COVID came. Then we kind of thought, well, COVID's our excuse to like sunset this program. And then last year when all these book bans started, we brought it back. We were getting a lot of the same winners, fewer entries. And so this year, the team said, we would like to do something that's a bit more activist, a bit more advocacy focused. So I could not be prouder of what went up yesterday in the main area of the library. So this is Hannah and Sarah and Sophie and Kara and a bunch of other folks. Have launched an exhibit and a campaign called Right to Read. And you can come in and you'll see several panels of information. So some infographics on censorship, some of the top books that are being censored, kind of what are the issues. And then you see these postcards with facts about what's happening now. So things like 2,571. That is the 2,571 titles that were challenged in 2022. That's 7 times more than were challenged 10 years prior. But you can pick up a postcard, and then we have some prompts. You can send a postcard to a legislator. You can send a postcard to a congressperson, to the governor. You can send a postcard to a librarian who is under fire, to an author, to a teacher, to a fellow reader. And then we have a mailbox there. If you want our friends group to mail them for you, they will. So our friends have sponsored all of this. It's like just really engaging. The graphics are great. I'm really, really proud. This is a great thing, I think, to come in and take the place of the Banned Books trading cards.
Awesome.
And then this Sunday, October 1st at 1 p.m. in meeting room, I think it's A, we have an amazing panel with Renee, Joel Brown, who's, of course, the Orange Chatham judge. We have Gretchen Westman, who's a school media specialist at Morris Grove. And then my pal, Tracy Fitzmaurice, who is the director of the Jackson County Public Library and the Fontana Regional Public Library. This is over in the far western part of the state, and she has been in the crosshairs with all of this for months. I met her for the first time at a conference. She worked for the library for like 27 years. She was promoted to director, and her first day on that job, all of this started. And so she's British. She's got a very dry sense of humor. She's a great storyteller. So if you want to hear on the ground what's happening, Tracy's driving over from Fontana Regional to be with us Sunday. It's going to be a really, really great program.
Open to everyone again. That's this Sunday at 1 p.m. And again, it's at the Chapel Hill Public Library. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website. All information about Right to Read is up there on the website, too.
That's right.
And you can get the a lot more information at the library as well. Speaking with Susan Brown and Renee Seckel, that event is going to be on October 1st. Renee, what are you going to be talking about at the event?
Well, I'm going to talk about what we're seeing on the ground. You know, I'm at the Wake County School Board meeting pretty much all the time. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen since 2021 is, to be brutally honest, an outside-in, top-down effort to raise issues that aren't actually organic to our schools. Like, the vast majority of the parents demanding book bans do not have children in the public school. They're grandparents, or they're just homeschooling or whatever. But they're trying to advance a narrative that's being handed down from a national level and trying to foment distrust in our schools, which really makes me angry as a public schools advocate. And I'd like to talk about what everyday parents can do. If you do have kids in the public school, how can you fight back? What can you do to support your own schools and make sure that they can withstand these kinds of attacks?
What's step one?
Step one is being aware of the problem. Pay attention to what the General Assembly is doing. Some of the stuff that's floated over there is just astonishing. There was a bill, I'm going to say bill, although that's not exactly right, floated over there earlier this summer that would have criminalized librarians, that would have made them go to jail if they allowed a kid to wander into the adult section and pick up a book off the shelves and see something the parent didn't like. That, to me, is wild. And we're also seeing a lot of efforts to redefine terms to mean things other than what they actually mean. So, for example, there's a book called Worm Loves Worm. It's a picture book about two worms, which, if you'll remember middle school science, are hermaphrodites, who decide to get married. And it's cute and adorable and wholesome. And at the Wake County School Board meeting, that is an adult book that is inappropriate for children and must be banned. And to me, you know, you say adult book, you're thinking, not a picture book.
Right.
Or not that kind of picture book. So that attempt to redefine terms in order to steer the conversation is something that people should be aware of.
So actually, Susan, let me go to you on this, because you've been in libraries for years. You know these issues really, really well. Like, as a librarian, A, you've got space limitations. Like, you can only have so many books. You've got to have some and not have others. And with children's libraries or children's sections in particular, you do have to be conscious of what's age appropriate and what's not. So how do you do that without leaning into, like, we're banning books for content?
We have professional staff who go to school, go into debt, who are taught how to do this. They are pros. So that's how that happens. Like, I have Karen and her staff. They are professionals. They are experts. They have subject matter knowledge. They also know the community, the parents, the interest here. So that's how they develop our collections, which is also with our guidelines, with a focus on diversity, and we're constantly weeding books. We are bringing books in, we're taking books out. It's all based on the needs of our families and kids and readers. And I will,
Yeah, keep going.
I will also say that talking about the bill that was floated around to criminalize library staff, I mean, people are leaving the profession because of this. Like, I have colleagues in Louisiana and Alabama who basically said, this is not worth it. Like, having my name drudged through the papers, having people shouting groomers on my front lawn, it is not worth it. So that's part of this too. I think similar to the schools, I think this is Susan Brown's citizen of the world talking here, that this is about undermining the institutions here.
Speaking with Susan Brown, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website. Speaking also with Renee Seckel from Red Wine and Blue. What's the website for Red Wine and Blue?
Redwine.blue.
Redwine.blue. I love it. Go there and find out more. And again, the event that we're talking about to kick off Right to Read is this Sunday, 1 p.m., October 1st at the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're talking books, so let's recommend books. You want to share your favorite band book, I think?
So this isn't my favorite band book, but it's one of my favorite stories to tell about band books. And
okay.
I got to share this just the other day. There was a mom and her kids who were new to town. We have all of the previous band book trading cards winners in the lower lobby hallway. And they were looking at them and they saw Charlotte's Web, which was one of the very first cards the first year that we did this here. And they were like, why would anybody ban this book? And I got to tell them that the reason that Charlotte's Web has been banned before is that it has talking animals in it, and that's apparently blasphemous to God. Of course, you know what book has a talking animal in it? The Bible.
Right.
So that to me just really encapsulates the like irony.
Although in fairness,
of it
that was
all.
Not a particularly good character in the Bible.
I know, but still, there was one. So that's like one of my favorite stories to tell on like why books are unbanned.
Renee?
Gosh, okay, I'm going to have to go with Lawn Boy, but there's a reason for it. So
okay.
I had never heard of this book. It's by Jonathan Evanson. Until it came up at the Wake County School Board meeting, is this book needed to be banned. So, of course, the first thing I had to do was buy it.
Right.
And it was a slog. I did not enjoy the first, two-thirds of the book. This kid was making bad decisions. He was cussing all the time, and I can cuss. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, well, okay, I don't really love this book. But by the time I stuck through it and got to the end, like, it was a beautiful story. And it was a beautiful story of growth and, you know, a kid learning to find who they are. And while, no, of course, I wouldn't hand it to a kindergartner, who would, I would be absolutely fine with my senior in high school reading that book because it was true, real to life as this author kind of imagined it. And I thought it was well worth the read, and it should not be banned.
Yeah. I think that's part of the problem. Like, a lot of the books that are on these lists are books that are really true and honest and willing to explore, like, the stuff about life that's icky and not sanitized, and that's kind of what life is. And those
there
are the books
actually,
that wind up
right,
on the list.
Brave
yeah.
stories,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Like, to be willing to put it all out there, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website. Go there and find out more. Redwine.blue for Red Wine and Blue. And again, come out on Sunday, October 1st, 1 p.m. for the Right to Read discussion. Much more information about Right to Read on the library's website as well. Susan Brown, Renee Seckel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.